All possible, my life in Christ, page 52, second book. All possible sins and passions are ready to break into the soul and strive to do so at every moment, but fight against them valiantly and vigilantly unto your last breath, looking upon them as dreams of your imagination, as illusions of the spirits of evil. Be so sure of the Lord's nearness to you that you may feel when praying to God that you touch him not only with your thought and heat, but also with your mouth and tongue. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Romans 10:3. That is God. Let the following conviction be inherent in your heart. All we men are one, brethren, and God, the most merciful, almighty, inexhaustible source of all things, is everything to us all. But in all of us, the devil also can and does act, the enemy of mankind, whose wickedness worked in men must be conquered by good, patience, meekness, indulgence. Do not confound man, that image of God, with the wickedness that is in him, because the wickedness is only accidental, his misfortune, sickness, an illusion of the devil, but his being, the image of God, still remains in him. If you sin in any way before God, and we sin every day greatly, immediately say in your heart, with faith in the Lord, who hears the sobs of your heart, with the humble acknowledgement and feeling of your sins, the psalm, have mercy upon me, O God, after thy great goodness, and say the hope psalm heartily. If it does not take effect the first time, try again. Only say it still more sincerely, with still more feeling, and then salvation and peace of soul shall speedily shine upon you from the Lord. Thus be always contrite. This is the true proved remedy against sins. If still you do not obtain relief, blame yourself. It shows that you have prayed without contrition, without humility of heart, without a strong desire to obtain forgiveness of the sins from God. It shows that you are not deeply grieved at your sin. If I have sinned, the Lord is my cleansing. If I am despondent or gloomy after sin, from the offenses of the enemy, the Lord does away with my despondency and revives my boldness. The Lord is everything to me, O Lord, which truly is, which is, and that is, who exists. Glory to thee. The Holy Ghost, like air, fills everything and penetrates everything. Who art everywhere present and fillest all things, prayer of the Holy Spirit. Those who pray fervently attract the Holy Spirit to them and pray through the Holy Spirit. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am I in the midst of them, St. Matthew. Why is the Lord's presence preeminently promised to two or three? Because there where two or three are gathered in the name of Christ is the church, the union of faith and love. There is mutual love. But this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another, St. John. The Spirit of truth, that is, of everything true that is thought of, all true thoughts are the breathings of the Holy Spirit. Truth is simple, easy, and life-giving for a man as thought as breath. Believe and trust that as it is easy for you to breathe the air and live by it, or to eat and drink, so it is easy and even still easier for your faith to receive all spiritual gifts from the Lord. Prayer is the breathing of the soul. Prayer is our spiritual food and drink. To you, a pastor of men, the Lord is given to see how cruel the mental wolf is, in order, among other reasons, that you should strenuously endeavor to save both yourself from his claws and jaws, and also the flock trusted to you by God. Entrusted to you by God. Begin therefore now, from now, to teach them with a special power, in the like manner as the Lord himself taught, and show them how unceasingly this wolf hunts them, and through what he catches them, how he flatters their sensuality, so that they may sin more easily and willingly. How many do not understand his flattery, how many serve him willingly, for instance, by gluttony, drunkenness, fornication, and adultery, covetousness, pride, vanity, malice, envy, scoffing of sacred things, slothfulness, bad language, idle speaking, mocking, a passion for dress, for dancing, a passion for theaters, cards, etc. Everyone busies himself about elegant and clean clothing for the body. Every one tries to dress with a taste and elegance. But who thinks of the incorruptible raiment, which is all defiled with sins, and which we all shall have to appear before God the Judge? Who washes it with tears of repentance, with works of mercy, adorns it by fasting, prayer, watchfulness, and pious meditations? Make us glad according to the days wherein doubt has afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Psalm, the merciful Lord, having punished us, forgives us afterwards by his temporary and eternal mercy. Sometimes a sick person suffers a long while from his malady, as from a wicked tyrant, but during this malady his soul is purified like gold. He obtains the freedom of God's children, and is deemed worthy of eternal peace and blessedness. Without trial, even common iron appears to be steel, tin appears to be silver, or an alloy of silver appears to be real silver, bronze appears to be gold, gold mixed with earth's pure gold, and common glass a diamond. Only testing proves the real worth of these materials. So it is also with men. By their appearance, many seem meek and humble, merciful, kind, simple, chaste, believing, etc. But trial often proves that they are evil, proud, hard-hearted, impure, avaricious, greedy, envious, rancorous, lazy, etc. Men are tried through privations and losses, sorrows, sicknesses, dishonor, and those who stand the trial are fit for the kingdom of God, while those who do not stand the trial are unfit, because a great admixture of evil remains in them. Live as a member of one body, as children of God, in love and harmony, in peace and tranquility, esteeming one another, being indulgent to one another, as the Lord is indulgent to us. Do not be proud, do not envy, do not bear ill will. Subdue all carnal desires, preserve chastity, abstain from every superfluity. Do not be slothful in prayer. Begin every worldly work or undertaking with a short prayer. Begin and end the day with fervent prayer to God, to our Heavenly Lady, and to your guardian angel. Pray for all as for yourself. Wish well to all as you to yourself, and do not wish or do evil to anyone. When you see men fall into various sins against yourself, against the Lord, against their neighbors, and against themselves, do not be angry with them. for there is much anger and malice in the world without your anger. But pity them from your soul and excuse them when they offend you, saying to yourself, Father, forgive them, for sin perplexes them. They know not what they do. Everything earthly, material, when the heart clings to it, is disturbance, affliction, straitness, and death to our soul, and by itself and in itself our body is corruption, dust and smoke. The only requirement of our soul are righteousness, holiness, truth, love, mercy, meekness, kindness, peace, spiritual freedom, or the grace of God in the heart. These treasures give life to our whole being and are eternal. Let us strive with all our might to acquire them, and having acquired them, to preserve, increase, and strengthen them in ourselves. For through our sinfulness, every good soon evaporates. O Lord, ever give me a meek heart, a bright, straightforward, and kind look. Grant it, Lord. Glory to thee for the change accomplished in me by thy right hand. I thank thee for having taken away from thee the burning thorns of my passions, my straitness, my shame, and my infirmities, and for having bestowed upon me a peace, tranquility, freedom, power, and boldness. Strengthen them then in me that which thou hast accomplished in me. Glory to the power of the faith, to the power of prayer. For everything that I ask of thee, believing in prayer, I receive in accordance with thy word. St. Mark 11:24. I thank thee for raising me from the dead so many times, 2 Corinthians 1:9, and for destroying the kingdom of death and sin within me. A Christian ought to meditate upon things above, upon heavenly, upon heaven where Christ is, and not to cling to the corruptible things of the world. This is the concern of the heathen. But meanwhile, we attach ourselves passionately to all earthly pleasures and things. We have preserved our life by withdrawing ourselves from the examples set us by the Lord, the apostles, martyrs, reverend fathers, the unmercenary, and all the saints. They were not of this world, but we are of this world. We lead a life according to our own conception, but not a Christian life. Envy, pride, condemnation of others, enmity, hatred, malice, iniquities, carnal impurity are not banished from our hearts, but are firmly and widely implanted in them. Do not for one moment fulfill your own will, but fulfill the will of God, which is love for all, even for our enemies, and our holiness, whilst our will is sin of various kinds, self-love and not the love of God, malice, hatred, pride, envy, sensuality, gluttony, drunkenness, theft, covetousness, fornication, craftiness, slothfulness, hardness of heart and insensibility to our neighbors, suffering, rejoicing in their misfortunes, rancor, murmuring, blasphemy, scoffing at sacred things. Great are the following words. Grant us with one heart and one mouth to glorify and celebrate thy glorious and majestic name, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, explanation from the liturgy. Oh, that it were ever so, and that our hearts were not apart, not even from those of other men, but even from our own selves. If I despise, hate anybody, it signifies that I unlawfully exalt, unlawfully love myself, that is, my flesh. Our heart continually flatters us, secretly exalting ourselves and depreciating others. but we must constantly see our innumerable sins in order to judge ourselves, to weep over ourselves as for the spiritually dead. Then we shall not have time to notice the faults of others and to condemn our neighbors for them or to despise them, but we shall esteem them, for we shall find that they are incomparably better than us in many things. Truly, the temple is heaven upon earth, for where the throne of God is, there the terrible mysteries are celebrated, where the angels serve together with men, where the Almighty is unceasingly glorified, there is truly heaven and the heaven of heavens. And thus let us enter into the church of God and above all into the Holy of Holies with fear of God, with a pure heart, laying aside all passions and every worldly care, and let us stand in it with faith and reverence, with understanding, attention, with love and peace in our hearts, so that we may come away renewed as though made heavenly, so that we may live in the holiness natural to heaven, not binding ourselves to worldly desires and pleasures. Fasting is a good teacher. One, it soon makes everybody who fasts understand that a man requires very little food and drink, and that in general we are greedy and eat a great deal more than is necessary, that is, than our nature requires. Two, fasting clearly shows or discloses all the infirmities of our soul, all of its weakness, deficiencies, sins, and passions, just as when muddy standing water is beginning to be cleared, it shows it what reptiles and what sort of a dirt it contains. Three, it shows us all the necessity of turning to God with the whole heart and of seeking His mercy, help, and salvation. Four, fasting shows all the craftiness, cunning, and malice of the bodily spirits, whom we have hitherto unwittingly served, and whose cunning, now that we are enlightened by the light of God's grace, becomes clear, and who now maliciously persecute us for having left their ways. All natural bodies gravitate towards the center of the earth, and all human souls naturally yearn after their spiritual center or prototype, God. Only sin has perverted and still perverts this natural tendency. Fire and smoke gravitate towards the element akin to them. Your soul seeks true life and its natural food. Food for the mind is truth. Food for the heart is peace and blessedness. Food for the will is normal direction or lawfulness. Go to the church. See, she will give you all this in plenteousness. She possesses all this in superabundance. She is the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Because in her is the word of God, showing the origin of all things, the origin of human race, the creation of man after the image and likeness of God, his fall, his restoration through the Savior of men, the means of salvation, faith, hope, and love. She affords us peace and blessedness through her divine service, and especially through the mysteries. She calls us, "Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest." See Matthew 11:28. She teaches us the true way, which our will ought undeviatingly to follow, and which will lead us to eternal life, that is, the way of God's commandments. The Lord has given me the greatest inalienable riches, His image and likeness. He has given me Himself, as it is said, "Thou, O Lord, has given an heritage unto those that fear Thy name." Prakibinu Vespas, Psalm Sorry. What earthly riches do I want after this? What honor? There is no higher honor than to be a Christian and a member of the body of Christ, a child of God in Christ. There is no one richer than the man who always bears Christ and his grace in his heart. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire in comparison to thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, and yet we are greedy, covetous, avarice, proud, envious. What delusion, what foolishness. Man, be rich through God. Everything comes to you from God. When you look at the candles and lamps burning in church, rise in the thought from the material fire to the immaterial fire of the Holy Spirit. For our God is the consuming fire, Hebrews. When you see and smell the fragrant incense, rise in thought to the spiritual fragrance of the Holy Spirit. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, 2 Corinthians. Also, in contrast, think of the spiritual stench with sinners and endeavor to be filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away every coldness of heart which proceedeth from the devil, the flesh, and the world, and be yourself a sweet savor before God by the fragrance of the virtues of meekness, gentleness, humility, obedience, abstinence, chastity, patience, and others. Flee from this stench of the passions, from malice, envy, pride, disobedience, intemperance, fornication, etc. The voice of the readings in church, the hymns, prayers, and supplications is the voice of our own soul, pouring forth from the acknowledgement and feeling of our spiritual needs and requirements. It is the voice of all mankind, acknowledging and feeling its poverty, its accursedness, its sinfulness, the necessity of the Savior, the necessity of the gratitude and praise for the innumerable benefits and infinite perfections of God. Wonderfully beautiful are these prayers and hymns. They are the breathing of the Holy Spirit. The sign of the cross is a blessing from a priest or a bishop, is an expression of the blessing or of the favor of God to man in Christ and for Christ's sake. What a joyful, significant, and precious ceremony this is. Blessed are all who receive such a blessing with faith. How attentive should the priests themselves be in bestowing their blessing upon the faithful. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Numbers. It is in vain that we say several times a day, the thrice holy, our Father, and have other morning and evening prayers. Are we not cleansed by them from our sins and impurities? Are we not delivered from temptations, misfortunes, unwavering circumstances? Is it in vain that we sign ourselves with a sign of the cross? Oh no, it continually acts beneficially upon us and upon those who make it with faith, especially when it is the blessing of a priest. Therefore, let us continually praise the mercy of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hears and saves us unworthy ones by his mercy for his holy name's sake. Oh, the words of the church prayers, indeed praises are great words, but these words, for thou art the resurrection and the life and the repose, which affords such great consolation to our mortal race and constitute the hope of Christians, are especially great. Therefore, they must be pronounced with special power, with special emphasis. O holy faith, by what words, by what hymns can I sufficiently praise thee for the innumerable blessings for my soul and body which thou hast bestowed upon me, for all the powers which thou hast accomplished and yet accomplishes in me, for the blessing of the peace and withdrawal of disturbance, for the blessing of freedom with the withdrawal of forbidden oppression, for the blessings of spiritual light and the dispersal of the darkness of passions, for the blessing of boldness with the withdrawal of faint-heartedness and fear, for the blessing of spiritual power, spiritual greatness, with the withdrawal of spiritual slavery and mean-spiritedness, for the blessing of holiness, with the withdrawal of sinful impurity, for deliverance from malice, envy, self-will, and obstinacy, cupidity, fornication, and every spiritual corruption. Glory to thee, my Lord God, my benefactor, and to the ages of ages. May thou be known, Lord, in thy faith, by all the people and by all the races of the earth, so that they all may glorify thee with one heart, one mouth, from east to west. So be it, so be it. Doctors who have made practice and received much money from sick people ought for their soul's sake to give alms generously if they believe that they have an immortal soul. Rich priests who are generously rewarded for their prayers and spiritual labor ought also to give alms freely, so as not to be condemned with Judas the betrayer, who sold the Lord of glory for pieces of silver. Merchants who make large profit ought absolutely to practice almsgiving and be generous in adorning God's temples. Officials who receive large salaries ought not to consider the rich recompense given them in return for their labors as their exclusive property, but should remember their poorer brethren, so that they may obtain a reward from God and purify their souls. All should provide themselves with the holy oil of charity and good works, so that they may not appear empty-handed before the judge on the day of the terrible trial, that they may not appear naked and bare of virtue on the day when all hearts shall be scrutinized. Glory to thee, O God.